water. Now, but sometimes it'll do that, and then it'll kind of trick me into, like, it looks like it's fine. But how, the only thing is, how do you know if this, like, sometimes it'll get halfway through the meeting, and it'll say low sound levels. And that's when I do not have that hooked in right. It's weird. Okay, I didn't get it. I guess I'll find out.
You have no linking out of order, so.
No, but I don't want that low sound level either, so, okay, well, we'll find out.
If it comes up low sound level, tell them to talk louder.
Yeah, right. It doesn't work that way.
No? What? Yeah, she lives in Marco. She lives in Marco, Mom.
Sean, what's the status on the garage there? It's kind of knocked in. I think it was to the youth group over there on that one day.
They were, I don't know, but it's coming, it's, they're slowly progressing.
Right? It's slowly, it's like molasses.
Yeah. But it looks a lot better than it did back in February when I had the help for them, but they just didn't want to do it.
Oh, I'm driving from there. I don't know, maybe it's.
Two days from there.
Probably with your money, we have some shavings.
A couple houses.
Yes, and I don't know, plus you.
Street.
Yeah.
West Street.
Well, there's a, there's rodents in that.
Better man.
There's rodents in that debris. There's all that dog and that TV and stuff in there.
West Council.
Where? Is it possible for all of them to get this, that you emailed this as?
Oh, sure.
The council?
Sure.
To know, because I think they need to know.
Yeah.
Exactly what's going on.
Did my wife write that?
Everybody call this meeting, city council to order. If you stand with me and face the flag, say pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would a moment of silence, please. Thank you. You may be seated. Roll call, please.
District 1, Councilor Mo Lennington.
Here.
District 2, Councilor Tom Sells.
Here.
District 3, Councilor Dave Furby.
Ms. Exa.
District 4, Councilor Lisa Friend.
Here.
At large, Councilor Missy Wade.
Here.
I entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the previous meeting at your.
So moved.
Second.
And motion and seconded to approve the minutes of the last meeting. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Approval of the agenda. Any additions this evening? Okay, there being none, I'll close the floor for approval of the agenda. And at this time, we'll get into the 2017 street paving bid opening. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about the Community Crossings Grant from the state and what this year's Community Crossing was and what next year's will be. And Brian Fuller from HWC is with us tonight to help explain that to you and something I want you to think about as we go in to budget time is the state is giving us $3 for every one that we put in with this matching grant. So we're going to be looking at an increase in the paving budget so that we can maximize our dollars where we would be essentially losing money.
Yeah, so yeah. So last year, the Community Crossings Matching Grant was a 50-50 grant. For this year, they are doing, as the mayor said, for every dollar you put in, they put $3 in, up to $1 million. And so it works out where if you maximize, if you want $1 million from the state, you have to put $333,333.
Which is only $63,000 more than what we traditionally budget of $270,000.
So, what I think, you know, as you're coming into budget time, The applications are due July 14th, so we're in the process of starting those applications for next year. Those projects will have to be under contract by May 1st, 2018. So it gives us time to get our Payton specs and bids in order. And then one thing, the bids we are opening today, they have to be under contract by July 14th because they are part of last year's community crossing to be eligible, to make the city eligible for next year. So what I'd like to do is we would like to, you know, consider using either, I think I talked to Vicki, is about, you know, either there's some money in the rainy day fund to transfer it over to paving to kind of at least maximize that $333,000. We are not guaranteed $1 million in grant funds, but last year everybody maximized what they applied for, so hopefully we'll be able to get that, and then we can really do some serious paving. We've started a list, and I need to talk to Sheen and the mayor and, you know, start thinking about other streets that may need to be paved. So we've got quite a few coming up.
Do you want to talk, Brian, a little bit about this year's crack sealing and micro surface that we've done? Is actually 2016 and 2017.
Yeah.
But
so at the end of 2016, we bid a project to do crack sealing and micro surfacing. Pavement Solutions was the lowest responsive bidder on that. But they couldn't obviously start because it was in the middle of winter. That was for the grant we got last year. So half of that was, or a portion of that was paid for as community crossing grant. We weren't sure how, if we could get reimbursed for work that was already done. So we went ahead and moved forward with the crack sealing and micro servicing for this year to kind of combine it to get with last year's to get funding. That project was about $100,000. We plan to apply for community crossings to get reimbursed for that money up to, and it'll be basically whatever, $66,000 of the $100,000 we would get reimbursed on that work. The contractor for that project has already crack sealed. They have not done the micro servicing, so they're going to crack seal, let all the cracks settle. And then they're coming back to microsurface some certain roads.
Some of them.
Yeah, not all of them, but there's a few that they want. Track seal and will microsurface. So that should be within the next 30 days or
so. What I would ask tonight is that when we open these bids, that you would approve a bid tonight. And whatever you approve, the engineers would go through and do their due diligence to make sure that those bids are responsible. And then I would ask you to give me the authorization to sign that contract as soon as we double check the numbers and make sure that it is a responsible bid so that we can get whoever is doing this, whoever we award the bid to, we get them under contract so that we can put together a really good grant to the community crossings for 2018. Questions?
Is it a multiple bid process on the paving? I mean, is it just one company going to do it all, or what?
For this project, for this portion, yes, we'll have one contractor do.
This is for the road reconstruction.
We have two bids. We have no bid yet, so we'll see what they are and see what come out.
Which is the map that everybody got showing.
Yeah, this includes all of George Street. Mm-hmm. I know originally we were going to do a portion of George Street, and then the money came through from the state. I think we expanded it to do all of George. There was a over by Cable Street, there's some drainage going on in there. The intersection of Ken and Beeson.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Brian.
Some days I'm prepared.
Brown Street and City Hall parking lot behind here in the alley, which is falling apart. So, and then Sunny Knoll Drive. That's right. Okay. That's a big one, too. Thank you, Brian. Do you have one?
That's great. Probably. Thank you.
So that, exactly what you have in your hand is what we're bidding tonight, what we're opening tonight. And obviously, you know how this goes. You can award a bid. You can throw all in the way if you want. I highly do not recommend that, but...
Should we open them?
I'm ready if you are. Any questions before we open them?
Yes. First bid we're opening is Milestone. Looks like their bid is...
You put a bid on that, didn't you?
They have to bid. $271,600.
$271,600, right?
Yep. Next one's Cooley Contracting. And they look like they're $245,048.10.
10 cents, that sounds like.
Let me make sure that wasn't just the right one, but. $245,048.10.
So on this project, we had an estimate of about $240,000 that we applied for the community crossings grant. So we got half of that. We've got about $120,000 in grant funds. And then after we applied, then Chris Martin came back and wanted to do some drainage improvements. And so he's going to put some additional money. We knew it was going to be more than what we were submitting for. They're good bids. The numbers are. We'll look at it. Both bids were good. But we'll look at them.
So the 245 just for the paving here?
Reconstruction?
What?
That's to do all the work.
Plus the drainage.
Yes, but the drainage work will come out of the wastewater treatment plant budget, so...
So that's not included in the 245.
Right. So basically...
No, it is included in the 245.
Yeah, right, it is included, but...
I got the
money for that work comes out of his budget.
Thank you for that clarification.
So again, we put in 120. The state matches 50%. So we're really, really did very good on those. So
what you guys will want to do is take these under advisement, have Brian look over these, make sure that they bid what they said they were bidding, and we are then let Sean accept the, I would say, the Cooley bid if it meets the specs.
And that's what I asked you to do earlier, is approve a bid tonight. While the engineer will, once you approve that bid, the engineer will do his due diligence, and then if you would give me the authorization to sign the contract once we do that due diligence so that we can get them under contract and make that application to the state for next year.
I got a special one. So when will they do this? Is there a timeline on that?
Yes, we have it scheduled to be completed by, what's it say?
Should be
October 1st, maybe.
Could they start earlier if they?
Yeah, they can start as soon as we get paperwork in order to get the bills in. But we had in here like a date we wanted the work to be completed by August 31st.
So they got to get moved.
Sure.
Yeah.
We need to get moving as well.
Okay.
And that's, I mean, they could extend that if we need to, because try to give them time.
Do you need that in form of a motion?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you're ready to accept the bid.
I'm going to go for it.
Sure.
Make a motion that we allow the mayor to enter into a contract with Cooley Contracting after our consultant has overlooked or reviewed the contract to see that it meets our specifications.
Can I look one?
Yeah, you can.
One little correction. Can we word it that we award the lowest responsive bidder? Because Cooley, for some reason, may not be the most responsive bidder.
Okay.
So we may need to award to Milestone.
Okay.
So that'll at least allow us some flexibility.
I amend that to read that we award this to the lowest responsive bidder that meets our specifications.
Second.
It's been motion and second to award the bid to the lowest responsive bidder. And I'm assuming give me the authority to sign the contract when it's made.
I just mentioned amendment.
Yeah, go. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
And I'm going to take off unless somebody has another question. They have a bond. Do you want to
do?
Okay, so this time we are ready for public concerns. Reminder that you have 3 minutes per concern. Please stand and state your name if you have a concern. Thank you, Brian.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Robbins. The question I have is I would like to know how many overdoses we have in Winchester a day. What kind of protection are we having for our policemen and the training because of this new drug? And how much is the rehab costing us total? I mean, the building, the upkeep, the total amount that's
going to
cost.
I think some may be able to be addressed tonight by our
person in the police department.
Well, I
can
probably address you out with three of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just
I do apologize if I had advance notice. I could have numbers.
Right.
Jason Allen actually contacted me a while ago and wanted the numbers on the overdoses. Winchester actually has the highest overdoses in the county. As far as Winchester proper. I totaled up the numbers from all the cities in Randolph County, and Winchester was the highest. I can't remember off the top of my head what the actual number for.
But they're pretty high. I mean, like
20, 30?
Like
I think you can figure out the number. Because I did it for 3 years consecutive, and 3 years consecutive, we were probably 100 and something.
A day?
Oh, no, that's the 3 years.
The 3 years. Well, I would like to know how many a day, a week, I would just like to know what we're trying to get stopped here.
I would say we're averaging probably 3 a week.
3 a week.
And that's a conservative guess. So, I know, and it's hard to put a number on that because occasionally we have what we call a bad dose of drugs come through, and it just hits everybody like a storm, and you see them overdose after overdose after overdose. So 1 week we may have 10 overdoses, and then we may have none.
The other question I have, after the overdose, what kind of punishment is there for people that overdose? You just keep.
And that's one thing, actually, I talked to the city attorney about, and we're going through the prosecutor's office about adopting maybe a local ordinance. On something like that to get them into our city court. Obviously, if there's drugs present, they're arrested on drugs.
search warrants for properties, those kind of things.
Protection, the training that the prisoner are getting, because I guess there's a new drug out that's very powerful.
Yeah.
You touch them, you get overdose, drugs, whatever.
All of our officers carry doses of Narcan. We carry 8 milligrams of Narcan.
Well, I'm asking the protection for the police, but what kind of...
That's for us as well.
As well? Okay. So how many do you guys...
Rubber gloves, duty gloves, those kind of things, yeah.
No, do the whole suit.
No, can't do the whole suit, but, I mean, if the call's for, yes. If we're going into a house that we know it's that bad, then we'll put Tyvek suits on, those kind of things, for search warrants.
Hey, John.
Yes. I was just curious.
So you can arrest, if I am down on the sidewalk and you can obviously see that I'm under the influence of alcohol, you can arrest me.
Right.
But if you go to someone and they've overdosed, you can't arrest them when you know they're under the influence of...
We don't have an internal possession law for drugs in Indiana. An internal possession law basically states if you have it in your system, you're in possession of that drug. We don't have that in Indiana for narcotic drugs. So we don't have a state statute that backs the drugs.
But it is possible, correct me if I'm wrong, it is possible to be arrested for public intoxication.
Correct.
When you're high on drugs.
Correct.
But typically you do not get arrested for public intoxication unless you are causing harm to yourself or causing harm to someone else or property.
Correct.
Is that correct to say?
You're absolutely correct. And that's what Meeks and I were talking about the other day after actual last council meeting. Possibly putting that into a disorderly conduct type charge with the damage to yourself or others aspect of that.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, it gets them in the city court and has to make them explain for their actions.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, unfortunately, we are kind of limited under state statute what we can kind of do.
Thank you.
Okay.
How much is maintained and
just
the total cost?
The maintenance? Well, that's in the contract with the organization to maintain the building. So that's within the lease. So once we have that lease agreement, it's basically theirs. So
okay.
They maintain the building. They mow the yard. They keep the upkeep. They pay the heater bill. They pay the light bill. They pay the water bill. We don't do that.
Okay. So how much is it totally going to cost us to remodel that? And... The maintain, I'm thinking like hiring people, the nurses and stuff.
Well, the city will not be hiring anybody
okay.
to work
okay.
there. That's not us. We don't put anybody on payroll to do that. That would be the Volunteers of America under a lease. So the best numbers we have right now, I think, I haven't looked at it in a couple of weeks, but I think they're in the 800,000 range. For where we're at right now.
That's not including buying the building?
That is including buying the building. It is, yeah. So, but we won't know until we actually go to bid. And then we won't, because in best case scenario is that we get a lot of really good bidder, competitive bidding, so it'd be lower cost. So that's why we want to make sure that everything is very detailed as possible so that they all know what exactly it is that we're trying to do, which is develop this program, develop this building that will meet code, just up to code, the operation. We're not trying to build a luxury hotel, right? I mean, they're best case scenario, they're staying for, I think it's, I hate to even forget what it is, 8 weeks?
54 days.
54 days.
No, 21 and
54. And then they move on.
Yeah, 21 originally and 54 was the secondary.
But I can say this, you know, the longer that it takes to get to bid, which means, you know, all of the inquiries that has to be researched and legal work that has to be conducted will cost the taxpayer more money because that has to be paid as well.
But Sean, this is not true, and once we have that initial cost, we have no other costs.
That's correct.
So if it says it's going to be $900,000, that's all we're going to owe. We're not going to owe next year, we're going to owe another.
That's absolutely correct. Did everybody hear that? Mo, would you repeat the question?
No $800,000 on on a payroll a year.
No, it's not ours. That's on VOA.
Yeah.
The only cost we're going to have, if he comes in and says, the total thing's going to cost $800,000, that's all it's going to cost us.
Missy and Jason and the other guy, what are they getting paid?
Nothing.
I don't think they're getting paid anything, as far as I know. I thought it was volunteer. Missy's on there, right? Getting paid?
Zero.
Now, they get paid to be city council people.
Yeah.
Just Missy.
Which are underpaid.
Well, the other two are just actual volunteers.
Right, but Missy's volunteering her time to be on the board.
She gets paid anyway.
Right.
Totally aside.
She gets paid for this job, I understand.
And that's all the cost.
I understand. VOA.
Nope.
That's good to know. I'd heard a couple things different on that.
It's all on them after we buy the building, get it all ready for them.
And the real objective is to pay that loan down as quickly as possible so that they can make an offer on the building, and that would be theirs. So that the city's out of it altogether. Because until that happens, it's still on the city's roll of buildings, just like this building is. We have to carry it on insurance.
Who's paying that loan?
Yes, we are.
We are.
First Security.
Okay, so.
We understand, right?
So there is a payment next year then?
Yes.
But not of $815,000.
Well, no.
Right.
There's not a payment next year at this time because it's not been approved.
Correct.
It's not approved until everything meets the standards.
And what's that payment? What would that pay?
Depends on how much it costs.
Yeah. If it goes to $800,000, it's around $26,000 a year.
That's interest only though.
Yeah, I know.
Interest only for 6 years.
I know that. And then if you add the other in there, probably about $80,000, I assume, something like that. If you add the principal part, it's around $80,000. It's for 6 years of $26,000.
So in that contract with VOA, what I read, they're paying $100,000 a month to maintain the building. Is that paying their electric bill and all that stuff?
I'm sorry, can you?
The $4,000 a month that they're giving to maintain the building.
That's not a maintenance. That's $4,000 in rent, which we will take and apply to the loan repayment. They are responsible for every dollar.
Well, by that contract that you're looking at, if you accept that.
It depends on which one you've gotten, because somebody released a draft contract that, you know, the reason that sometimes we don't make working documents public right away is because they're not finalized yet. And so then when these things get out there, then people get stuck on a draft that really hasn't been negotiated yet. So the $4,000 annual lease payment that Volunteers America gives the city, we will take that lease payment and we'll apply it right back to the loan to draw that loan down. Because the objective is, again, once there's a zero balance, in that lease, it says they have the lease, they have the option to purchase. So the overall big goal is to have this facility to help our people at the absolute minimum cost of taxpayers, which really, with the people that we've been talking to and the grants that we've been applying for, could be a wash.
The option for them to buy that building, what is it going to be sold to?
I don't know. Probably whatever it's appraised for. Which we are taking a $185,000 building, because that's what it was appraised for, and we're putting all those renovations into it, it's probably going to be more. I mean, it probably costs more money than what it originally was.
Probably another $200,000. Probably get $200,000.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you something? I'm sure the mayor sent me this packet, and I asked him if he would share this with the rest of the council members, because I think they should know. I haven't looked at it yet because I just had a really busy month here in the last month, but I'm no financial genius, so I won't tell you that, but you know, basic math, we can go through some of this, and we have talked, Sean and I, about my concern on the cost of this building. And so he has shown me a couple plans, and we talked about them here one day before one of the meetings, and the lease has not been signed yet. And I do have some questions about the lease. What's their skin in this game that we do need to do some discussing? So I understand your questions on that, and I haven't had time to look this over, and I
I mean, not to say I don't know what toilet costs or where you have, whatever, but you know what I mean. You know, right. Yeah, so, and I think there's going to be really due diligence too. And I think they should have some, a lot of input on this too, because, you know, we're all kind of in this, and we're going to work really hard on this to try to get where it wants.
And I can explain it this way. There are four, what they call contingencies. So it depends on where they, where people bid at. Everybody, every bidder has to bid on all four, but they have to bid on it separately. So if you're a contractor, you'll come in there and you'll bid on alternate one, alternate two, alternate three, and alternate four. So that if alternate one goes over our budget, that's all we get. Which could mean, you know, not building out the basement. If that's how much the bid come back, the contingency plan is to say, for right now, we're going to build out the second floor and the main floor. And later on, when we raise more money, we'll build out the basement. But we don't know that yet because we haven't gone to bid yet. We just don't know what people will bid on. Just like tonight, when we opened these bids tonight, we had no idea. In fact, I was expecting probably a lot more, that the bid would come back a lot higher. But it didn't. It came back a lot less than what I really expected it to.
Is there not, there is a limit on it, isn't there, Sean? I mean,
yeah,
1.1 million or something like
that's
that?
That's correct, Mel. You're right.
So we can't spend over that. You know, if it comes in higher, we have to figure out what to do with it. But
well, if it comes in higher, I have to come back to you and ask you for more money, which I don't want to do.
1.1.
Okay?
All right, I've got a couple questions. Christopher Bilbrey, 318 South Meridian Street. A couple of them have to do with the loan from the IHCDA. I listened back through a couple of the city council meetings, and I just want to get some clarification. Has it been said, or I get the feeling that I've got, is that we have been told, the citizens have been told, as well as the council have been told, that the loan from the IHCDA attaches to 313 South Meridian Street, and when someone has asked, well, why couldn't we build it, or why couldn't we get another building, we've been told, well, that loan that we applied for attaches to that property. Is that correct?
That's my assumption, because it asked for, on the application, what building we were looking at.
Okay. Second, have we been told that the loan will not work for new construction? For example, if we had property and we had money or whatever happened, and we wanted to build a new building just for $815,000, is it the understanding that the loan does not work for new ground-up construction?
No, I don't know that, but I can say you're not going to build a building for $815,000.
Correct.
More like $2
million. Right. Okay, that's that. Does anybody know where we are at with the objection period, with the filings that went with that?
In fact, this is the first I've heard that there's been an objection filed. So there's been objections filed?
Yeah, the auditor's office called and said that they had called somebody up here and told them or whatever, so I don't know.
Who'd the auditor call?
I think they said the mayor's office. I don't know. They didn't say specifically spoke to the mayor. You were correct.
No, I don't know where that.
Okay.
That's out of our realm of responsibility.
Once so does anybody know what since we're in this process,
I don't
know what the process is with that?
I know what the process is. Yeah.
What is that?
You file an objection, and it's determined if it's 10 taxpayers, which means property owners.
Okay.
And then if it is, then it's sent down to the state to decide if the objections are valid.
Okay.
Beyond that, I don't know. Those would be questions for the state.
Okay.
Department of Local Government and Finance would be able to answer.
Sean, can we interject here?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, the documents filed, I'm not sure if they were objections or not. I mean, I read them. This is for the lease financing, and the objections didn't discuss the lease. There has to be 10 taxpayers for a petition. I don't know if we got 17 different petitions or one petition, because they weren't all signed on the same one. So that's all questions for the DLGF that is in the DLGF right now at their attorneys, and they're going to, the email I got back this afternoon is they're going to determine whether or not there are objections, which, you know, in my mind, I don't know if they are or not. They'll have to decide that. But at this point, that's where it's at, and we should know in the week.
End of the week?
That's what they told me. Maybe early next week. I don't know. That's the DLG office. Might be a week, might be a month. I have no idea how long it'll take them.
And then lastly, I guess, kind of a throwback question. We've never, ever heard on the record when the council was aware that the city of Winchester was applying for the loan. Just tonight, when you guys did the thing for the paving, what Mr. Sells said was, we want to make a motion to enter in for the mayor to be able to enter into this contract. Okay? I've never heard that language at any of the meetings prior to the date.
Well, can I? You have, because you were here. Once the loan was approved by the IHCDA, then I came back to the council and asked them to engage in it on the contingency that the the ordinance is passed and that all of the legal work is completed. So you did hear that. And, you know, Mr. Bilbrey, I don't know when it was that I asked this council, or even if I did ask this council, to apply for the Community Crossings Grant. I don't know when that is either, because it's not really in the purview of local government with a strong mayor state that we're in for the executive to ask the legislative branch to apply for loans or grants. However, if awarded, I can't agree to those. I am absolutely limited in my power to do that. That's rests in the legislative authority. So I know that you've wondered that question for a while, and I do wish that I had taken better notes about when I did inform the council that I applied for that loan, but I don't have it. I don't have it. I know that on January 28th, I believe it was, 26th, something must happen on the 28th, but on the 26th, I went to the state and they took a vote at the IHCDA to offer the loan to the city of Winchester. Now, the city of Winchester is not the mayor's office. The city of Winchester is all of us. Your local elected officials in this representative democracy. And that's when I took it to them and I made it public to think about, and ordinances were drawn up.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else?
I'd like to add one thing, Sean.
Okay.
But you did this exact same thing for the streetlight. Yep. You went out, you got an award, you got a grant for the streetlight, and it was, how much was it?
87,000.
87,000, and the council decided not to do it.
Sure.
Exactly what happened less than 6 months ago.
Yeah, so, I mean, it really is my job, I feel like, to go put the fish on the hook. It's council's job to reel it in if they want to. I know that's a bad analogy, but I've been thinking about doing some fishing lately. So. I do want to share something, unless anybody else has anything else. I want to give some, it's not really a public concern, but it's something that I wanted to share. Anybody else have a public concern?
I do.
Yeah.
There's going to be concerts in the park. One's coming up on Friday, 8 o'clock start.
Junkyard band.
And then for all of you guys, and I know and Sean have gotten letters out to you on July 1st, Levi Driscoll at 6 and Chris Hawkey at 8. So I hope they're free, absolutely free.
I distributed them
great,
to the
thanks.
County Chief yeah, Association, thanks. But all with the county
yeah,
department.
Okay. So anyway, Friday at 8 o'clock, I'll make my husband a lot happier.
Was the last one all attended this evening?
Yeah, about 150. Hello? Yeah, so I think he's hoping to get
who
over.
Was there in
Levi was there, and the Green DeVilles, a group out of Greenville, Ohio, and that gal's on the radio, Kix 96, or something, I don't know.
And Matt Daly's.
And Matt Daly's, yeah, okay, that's my public concern.
Anybody else? Okay, well then I will officially close the floor to public concerns, but please, if there's ever a question or concern, you don't have to wait until a council meeting. You can come in, and we can discuss it anytime. But at this time, I would like to ask Danny Hudson to join me up here, please. I've gotten to know Danny here in the last year and a half, and I got to say, he's one of my favorites. I didn't know him until I took on this position, but he has a heart of gold, and I want to read this to you, and we haven't done one of these in a while. But I want to give Danny Hudson on the actual nomination from Lisa Friend, Councilor Lisa Friend. I thought that this was a great thing for you to have for this month, Danny. And it says, Volunteer of the Month. The City of Winchester recognizes Danny Hudson as the May 2017 Volunteer of the Month. The City of Winchester would like to thank Danny Hudson for his dedication to the residents of Winchester, both current and past. Danny has served the city faithfully for over 28 years as both a volunteer and full-time firefighter. However, Danny strives to give 110%, I'm sorry. During the Memorial Day holiday, Danny volunteered his time to place over 1,000 flags on each veteran's grave in the Fountain Park Cemetery. This act of reverence for the sacrifice that these individuals contributed for our freedom elevates the community conscious to pause and remember the purpose of Memorial Day. For your individual service to our country and the United States Army, for your service to the City of Winchester and its fire department, and your volunteer service to the Fountain Park Cemetery, we honor you today, Danny.
Very awesome.
And now.
I need a tissue, man.
That's good.
There you go. I'm not kidding, man. I got me.
And the people out there at that memorial present or the ceremony really, really appreciate what you've done. I know you've meant a lot to the Greens.
He's been on vacation, but I know he's got a couple calls to return. People wanting to donate and start some kind of fund for next year with people to assist him. So it was really well received.
And Mr. Radford with the News Gazette did a wonderful story on Danny last week as well. Thank you, Darrell.
As the son of a veteran, it moved me also what he did. I thought it was a tremendous gesture.
At this time, I'd like to introduce to you Kathy Beimer with the Randolph County Garden Club, who has an interesting proposition that we've been working on here for some time. So.
Well, actually, I'm going to kind of change who I'm representing.
Oh, okay.
Because we're going to kind of go back. Do you remember that morning, Sean?
Ooh.
When the three crazy old
women? I do remember that. It was kind of, I do remember
it
that.
It was a dark, stormy, snowy morning.
It was.
When the three crazy old women tramped into Mayor Sean Byron's office. And so it kind of began the saga of women who look at Winchester in a different way than maybe many of you do. Because we look at Winchester as not maybe our hometown, but we're from the country, and we kind of look at it as the central town or our center of government. It's where we come to eat, it's where we come to shop, it's where we come to do business. And so we have a pride in Winchester, just like you do, because you live here. But we have a pride in it because it's our town. And so we kind of think about it in, we sat down that morning and we kind of talked with Sean about what we could do or some of our ideas about what we could do to help retain some of Winchester's pride and where we could go with it. And then Sean came back to us with his ideas. And we were, okay, you know? And so one of the ideas that came out of that were the pocket parks or the areas in Winchester where they have demolished homes or buildings and that they're just vacant lots. And what we could do with those. you know, some of the lots are larger, some of the lots are smaller. Could you make a community garden? Do you take a survey of the people who live around those areas and see what they need? Do they need a swing and, you know, some, do they need a community garden? Do they need a resting spot? What do they need? What, do they even want anything? And so we kind of went there. And the garden club kind of came in, I brought that up to our garden club. And actually, they wanted to talk to Sean about something different. They wanted to talk about the Winchester signs, the greeting signs that came into Winchester, and Sean actually came to our garden club and talked to them. And we did talk about the park, pocket parks, but it gradually came around, still back to the three or four crazy old people who really wanted to pursue beautifying some of the pocket parks. And so our proposal is to make a resting park at Carl and Southeast. And this is a smaller area. This is, we have about four or five people who would like to kind of start small and see what we can do with it. And so what we kind of came up with is that we would have the city's part would be that we would have IDEM come in and look at the area because it does back up against the creek. It looks like at one time maybe there were steps that you could actually go down, you know, into the creek. I don't, you know, that's a safety issue. Maybe we need a gate there, some type of fence or something. That would cover everyone's back, I guess, to make sure that there's not a problem there. We would like perhaps to have the city take out the foundation of the old home that's there. And then the mayor said that the city has quite a bit of fill dirt that we could fill in the low areas there. If you go drive by and look at it, you would see that it is a low area and then a higher area. And then Sheen and the mayor and I found a couple of stray benches kind of lurking around. And, you know, so those could come in handy there. And that's why we were kind of calling it a resting park. If people are out walking in the evening or the daytime, that it might be kind of a nice place just to take a rest. And then the old people, what we would agree to do is lay out the park, come up with an idea of how the park might work, how it would look, with your approval. We would provide the plants. Now, we're not talking annuals or anything like that, or pots of plants. We're talking perennials, probably a lot of hostas and coneflowers, things that are hardy that would come up year after year. And we would be responsible for them the first year and for the first year's maintenance. We'd make sure that they're established, that they're watered, that they're going to come up the next year. We would make sure that they're up, that they need to be supplemented or whatever. We would make sure that they're filled in and that they came in and that type of thing. The idea behind that is that we would probably like to take on other projects. And that was one of the things that I had talked to Sean about, that and Sheen, that we would, once perennials are established, they'll survive by themselves, unless you have a particularly hard drought area or, you know, time. And they can live for weeks and months without a lot of water. So that is our proposal to the council. And this is something that will take a while. This is not going to happen overnight. We would probably hope to have it done by September or October. It's not going to, you know, it's something that's, we don't want to put plants in the middle of August and hope that they are going to live. And, you know, it's going to take, if you agree, it's going to take time for, this is a busy time for the city, and it's going to take time to get all those things done that we had talked about. So, and then I will just like to leave these out on the table for you in case you're ever interested. These are some of the things that the other organization that I talked about. We would love to have you come sometime.
The only thing I would add,
yes, sir,
is that that location, I would recommend the city retaining that now that it's ours, because it's a good access point into that creek, not only for us as a city for our stormwater drainage, but also for the county who is responsible for that creek. You know, if there's ever any work on that creek, they would have, the county would need to access the right of way anyway. So. If we had ownership of that, then it would be minimal to a property owner who might try to build a house there. So my opinion is we need to hold on to it, and if we're going to hold on to it, we need to make the most of it. And so this is an opportunity that I would hope that we wouldn't pass up. So I guess what I'm asking you to do tonight is for me to do some due diligence as far as making sure that it passes some environmental inspections before we do start building or moving dirt into it or tearing up foundation, so that if we do get into something, that we're protected by having an environmental study done on it, which would probably be around $1,000, no more than $2,000. And that would be mostly all that we would have in it, other than the labor for removing the foundation and if we want to install any gates or anything, but it's up to you. It's actually your property, so.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a concern a while back when that polyhedral building was taken out. And, well, you know, it was too small to build a house on. So this is going to kind of answer some prayers, so to speak, really, to get something nice there. Be right on the creek, too. Be kind of aesthetically nice.
Mm-hmm. Would you guys consider allowing it to be a memorial garden with a pathway where people could buy bricks with their, you know, like people who passed their names? I've seen that done in another small city. It's really great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did it downtown.
Yeah. Just a thought. It helps to gather some money that you have to work with, and it's kind of nice.
I would love to have a motion to be able to begin developing this parcel into
what's the
beautification area?
Randolph County Garden Club?
No, it's not the Randolph.
It's called Real
Name. My bad, I put the wrong name on it. All right.
Yeah. It is simply. This is simply interested citizens.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. I wanted a title with it when I bring this to a motion.
This is simply interested Randolph
citizens.
County citizens.
I'll go for that. Make a motion that we allow the mayor to do due diligence to work with concerned and interested citizens in Randolph County for going into this restful garden, restful park on the corner of Carl and Southeast Street. East Street.
Got a motion and a second to allow for the motion that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Beautification of the corner of Carl and Southeast.
There, that sounds good.
Whatever Tom said.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Okay. Expect you in my office again sometime this week.
Okay.
All right. There being no new business, we'll go into unfinished business. I do have one new business item. I'm sorry. I want to throw in here, and it's not really anything important, but July 3rd happens to be a Monday. July 4th is the next day. Last year, if you remember, we took the July 4th council meeting off. It was the only one we've taken off. What would you like to do about that? Have a meeting? Not have a meeting?
I'd say we skip the meeting.
Yeah.
Help people be out of town on the weekend.
Yep.
And we really don't have the business at that point, but we can figure it out.
It's not a third meeting in the month, so it's not a financial meeting. I'll need a motion, I think.
Make a motion, I'm for.
I make a motion that we withdraw from having our first Monday meeting on July 3rd, 2017.
The motion and second to suspend the July 3rd council meeting. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. You know, the state statute says that if there is something that comes up, I can call a special meeting, or a majority of the council members can call a special council meeting as well. So as of right now, unless something comes up, we're not meeting on the 3rd of July, okay?
Okay.
So you can get that ready for your calendars. Okay, unfinished business, golf carts. There is an ordinance provided. Did you all get that in your emails?
I guess I'm too much.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't care how you go about this. I didn't even open the ordinance up. I will not veto anything. I will not stand in the way of whatever you want to do with these golf carts. If you want to do nothing with these golf carts, or if you want to, whatever you want to do. It is.
Okay, let me start this thing. Believe me, I'll go on with whatever the council decides. If they don't want that golf cart, they'll sell mine. If they don't want to drive down Marin Street, we can drive down Marin Street. But the problem is, that I see is that, and we talked about this. This is a real simple thing. When we brought this up from Jim, all we had to do is say yes, while you're around town, or no. But we've done this thing for 2 months now, right? And in the ensuing 2 months, I found out that we think we're a safety hazard, which we might be. I don't know. I'm not arguing that point. And then we have to go across the stoplight in Marine Street, but I went across 32 200 times in Red Rack. And Tom told me today that there was one, maybe, or two the whole time. And on top of that, I did talk to Mayor Portman, and on that thresher show they do up there, they get over 100,000 people up there during the week. They have 400 golf carts. They never had one accident, but that's it. But the thing, and like I said, I'm going to vote for however you guys, I'll adhere to that. But the thing that did upset me was that about 2 weeks ago, I was talking to city officials, and they said they didn't want the golf carts downtown because it made Winchester look like a campground. Now, I don't even know what that means. Does campground people mean they're nasty people? I just didn't understand that. And so I never did ask for an explanation, but I felt offended by that because I do own a golf cart. And I don't think I'm a nasty person, but I just couldn't, I never was explained to me what this meant by what was said, but to me, I'm just saying that we should have done this thing 2 months ago. If you don't want them downtown, no. Want them downtown, yes, so whatever. I know I did read the ordinances too, but you got the same thing here. The final point I want to say is this. I do not see the point in letting us go down Meridian Street, and but yet not letting you go down Franklin Street or Main Street. Main Street, I talked to Sean about that. He says there's a lot of traffic on there. But Meridian Street and Franklin Street, there's more parking places on Meridian Street than there is Franklin Street. Mm-hmm. So my point would be, we either don't, you can do what you want to do, but it don't make sense to say, we'll let you go down Meridian Street
but not Main.
And not Franklin Street. Now, if you're going to do that just so we can cross 32 with the stoplight, I feel offended by that, because I can cross the stoplight first, cross the street without using the stoplight. So, like I said. I've been quiet for the last 2 months, which is hard for me to do.
I think this whole thing's gotten way drawn out of proportion.
I agree. Like I said, that's where we started. Either yes or no. And it has been out of proportion. Because yeah. If you think about what it said, we're a safety hazard. We're unintelligent because we can't go across 32 without a stoplight.
No, I don't think anybody meant that.
No, well, that's more what
they said. Think about that. There's 8 places you can cross 32.
But there, I mean, sometimes those places aren't even easy to cross in a car.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I think that they at least wanted one safe place to be able to cross with a light.
Yeah.
Probably.
I think we were just trying to say, if somebody had a concern, we wanted to make sure it was okay to go down Meridian so they could
cross. There are 8 places you can cross 32 and we crossed it without a stoplight. Like I said, I'll vote if you guys decide to Let them go down Meridian Street, that's fine with me.
I just understood to allow them to go down Meridian, so if they want to use a light, they can.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they cannot use a light, because that's the only access to a light, so.
But then, Tom, you think about this. What was the point of letting you go down Meridian Street and not Franklin Street? It had to be a stoplight.
I had no problem going down Franklin.
It was a stoplight for me. It was just so they could have a safe place to cross the stoplight.
Right. Which, to me, was offensive, but I could cross it.
Well, I didn't mean it to be offensive. I don't know who, I think somebody brought it up, and I just thought it sounded like a good idea.
Yeah, I like the stoplight.
Cross with a light rather than.
I can get across the other side. I can get out tomorrow.
So anyway.
One car behind me late one.
We've talked about this long enough, so. You got two ordinances. One says you can drive anywhere you want to, I believe. One says you can go down Meridian Street. So we need to vote on this and get this thing out of here.
Either do we have to vote on anything, or can we just leave it the way it is and let the police handle the way they've been handling it?
As a matter of fact, if you remember right, I've suggested that a meeting ago. We just leave it the way it is, which is what we should have done to start with, or open it up for the golf cart system. If you want to leave it the way it is, that's fine. I don't care. You got to make a motion to vote on that. You know,
I agree with you, Mo. I think you either open it up all the way or you do nothing and change nothing.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
Okay. But you need to make a decision because we look ridiculous if we can't figure this out. It's a golf cart thing. Okay, I'll do it this way. I'll make a motion that we open it up for everything.
Second.
We'll vote on
it. It's been motioned and seconded to allow golf carts anywhere that's not 30 mile an hour.
Yeah, and right? Yeah. And not on Main Street, not on
37,
not on
32. Basically, open up golf carts.
Yes. Yes.
Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor of said motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
No. But I don't have any hard feelings. I just heard from a few merchants, and they don't want them in front of. You know, taking up parking spaces, so.
Wait, what do you say?
No. I think there's a few businesses that don't want to
have
taking up
parking.
There
was three.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to get upset about this. I just say, I don't want to enforce it. I just want to, it was working fine before. I wish we'd have never brought it up. And I knew when they brought it up, I knew it'd be a
first time. Yeah, I was asked to, but I said.
I did
see something troublesome. Somebody has a golf cart.
What is that ordinance?
Vicky's on the side.
Well, Vicky's going to get the ordinance.
Yeah, I have it on my phone, and
we'll take a little break here.
But I apologize, but I just could not understand. I mean, I own a golf cart. I've noticed now there's probably 200 people ride golf carts around Winchester, maybe more than that, maybe less.
I'll
tell you what, if I pay $5,000-$6,000 for a golf cart, mm-hmm. I'm going to be awful careful with it. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, would you take the great grandkids?
It was worth more than my old car.
Do you want to discuss the part about the registration of them?
No, I don't. No. I don't personally know, but do whatever you want. Because the next thing, they're going to make me register my bicycle.
That's just the bag. Guess what? If you brought it up, that's exactly what I was going to say, because I rode my bike up here too. We don't need to register them. Because if you register them, then you lose it. I have to have the proof of it.
Everybody should have to.
But if you say I have to register this with the police department,
mm-hmm.
because then you don't have to prove that there's an accident that you have financial responsibility, because you have to prove that when you register. You understand what I mean? Like if you go say I'm going to register this my golf cart,
mm-hmm.
so the registration part will be, do you have insurance? Yes or no?
Yeah.
If you say yes, then you don't have to prove it again to the police officer. They won't give you the registration if you don't have the income proof.
I just think it allows them to be able to enforce some of their rules a little more with the young underage drivers and things like that.
Well, you know,
you've got an ordinance already.
That's in the ordinance.
If they decide to enforce it, great. If they don't.
That's the only ordinance. Matter of fact, the ordinance says you have to have proof of local responsibility. Can't drive it if you're under 60. You know that you can't even drive on a golf course.
Right now.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
their insurance
does.
They're
covering
underage
drivers. So, Mo, do you want to pass ordinance number 2017-6 by title only?
Yes.
Yes.
Not here, though. No, not here. But that's the owner's prerogative.
Was there a second?
Second.
Yes.
Okay, it's been motioned and seconded to read by title only ordinance number 2017-6. All in favor? Signified by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Ordinance number 2017-6, an ordinance amending and restating section 70.03E of the Winchester Traffic Code.
Motion to approve.
Second. Been motion to approve and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
I think it, can we only do one reading tonight?
Yeah, because we had a nay, so you'll just do the next one.
Okay.
I just want to make sure.
It doesn't matter. If you vote nay on either one of them.
Right, I knew that, but I just want to make sure. The first motion was Mo motion to open up the golf carts downtown. Lisa seconded. It went 4-1. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, now, the next motion then, we just read it by title only, and that was passed. Did
I'm
you vote?
No, I'm voting.
Okay, that's what I wanted to clarify. That's what.
That is coming. I just wanted to clarify that.
So just so everybody knows how these work. If anybody votes no or anything, you can't vote the second, third.
Right.
So you just wait till the next meeting. You can only suspend it on unanimous consent.
Right.
Okay. Any updates? Any updates on the blighted houses and unsafe building violations update?
There's just some concern by several people on our committee, just, and I don't know what we do about them there, but you know, this one that's on West South Street, it's, everybody goes by that thing, and it's just, it's getting to be a terrible danger. I don't know what we're going to do about it, but obviously, I guess I'd like on the next meeting some update from the police department. Where are we at? Have we gotten any correspondence back from them? Where can we go? What can we do? To me, the same thing on 213 East Short Street. And you know, when those houses set, and those are owned by companies, the ones out of Anaheim, California. So, you know, you're not going to get what, I don't know what we do. And then, you know, I know we spoke about Around the Corner Cafe. I went through there and Brody opened it up for us so we could go through, but he was chicken to go through it again. No, he had something to do. So Dr. Henshaw and Gabe Winkle and I went through there, and if somebody can ever buy that thing and rehab it, I'll eat my hat.
Yeah.
And I don't believe it. And it's
second, third floor are trash.
Well, they're
used to be my studio.
They walked out of there. The food is still there. There are raccoons all over the place.
Well,
and I don't know. I think we just, I just hate to see that get worse and worse, and you know, and something happened to it.
So, I agree. At the end of the day, as all these properties dilapidate, they come back to us anyway.
Yeah.
So I guess in my mind, I want to exhaust every avenue of somebody, a private business that might want to come in there and, you know.
Do we know, is anybody talking about coming in? Did you talk to them about coming in, or did they talk to you?
They came to me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so if it doesn't work out, then, you know, then we move ahead. But I'm really concerned anyway with any kind of community development block grant, because the Trump administration has threatened to cut rural USDA, which is the only federal agency that we have out here in rural Indiana. And if that's cut, there's no money for demolition. None. That's all the community block grants comes from USDA. And that's actually in this budget right now that is being considered by the Congress. So
what's the process there? I mean, like to say Around the Corner, we don't own that building. Right?
No.
Did the same people run it, own it?
Uh-huh.
They're still reading them.
Yeah, now it's for sale for like $19,000. Well,
so what's the process? We'll buy for $19,000 and tear it down?
Mm-hmm. You can.
But you got to tear it down from this building and from this building right here.
And it would be rather expensive.
And that would. It might be.
That is, we would be, we're one of the only cities in Indiana left that has all of our teeth in our downtown. That's something even the city can't say. Right. We're Portland.
I guess I was misunderstanding, because I thought people were in favor of pursuing to take this building down. So,
and I am. So I am. I explain that. I am.
Tina
Henderson
came when we had our meeting. I think Brody was in shock that she said, we don't have any support for this, so we didn't know where to go. So, but I just want to bring that up. But one of these blighted houses, you know, you feel sorry for people, like Lisa, for people who have to live beside these, and they just continue to get worse and worse. And they're all over town.
I've
guy come to redevelopment commission from the historic thing.
Landmark.
Said it couldn't, landmark, and said it couldn't be.
No, they, those guys want it to be.
But he didn't think it could be, right?
And I don't think it's
economically feasible.
He said he wanted to do, a architectural study on it, and he wanted us to pay for it. For about $10,000.
Brody, have you had a study done as to how much it would cost to tear that down?
The light committee had a quote that Cooley's completed is $140,000. Not for sure if that was accurate with the engineering work that would need to be done to regrace the existing buildings around it.
That's a problem.
But I think it's definitely feasible to tear it down for the money that we're able to get for some of the grants, upwards of $300,000.
Okay. Which, even if we did get that amount of money, you know, $350,000 sounds like a lot, but there's a lot that goes into tearing down a building on the main corridor of your downtown. You're going to have to block streets off, reroute traffic. You're going to have to provide safety. Yeah, I mean, this needs to be...
Sewage, water,
lines. I mean, I am not against it, and I've been on record for that, but I want to exhaust all avenues before we go there.
Yeah, you could gut it and shell it.
When somebody comes in and says, I'm interested, sorry, we're planning on tearing that down. I mean, that's not good business.
But would they really be interested if they look at the yard blue?
Basement. You have to have one.
By the time we do this, will the money be gone?
It doesn't matter if we start today. We don't know. If Congress passes the budget now, which strips the USDA of its funding, yes, the money will be gone.
And we can't reapply until late 2018, and we're a year away if we don't, and that's okay, but if we don't do it now, Tina Henderson was there, and she was telling us, if you don't apply now, see if you can even qualify and get it, then you're going to wait more time. Right. And then she really didn't know what would happen with the USDA.
So we need to apply?
Well, no, we couldn't. But that's okay, we can talk about that later.
Okay, we'll apply. Not use the money.
Because you still have to pay $10,000 for the consultant to write the grant.
To be able to get the money.
And then if you don't use it, it's gone.
Which is reimbursable.
It's reimbursable by the grant.
If we get the grant.
So when we do that?
Yes. And then if you spend $1 towards demolition, you have to demolish it all, which if it goes over budget, where's the money coming from? Where are you going to pull the rest of the money? If it goes over $350,000, where does the rest of the money come from? I mean, we have it in rainy day, probably, but, I mean...
Half a dozen, one of six the others, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, them other houses, Nancy?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say corporations own them, or real estate?
No.
So we can't get a hold of them at all?
Well, I called this, I purposely took this picture so the sign wasn't shown, but I got a picture of the sign, and I called and left a message with this real estate guy to see what bank owns it. Mm-hmm. Because Sean and I said, banks ought to have to go mow this. They own it. Bank owns this.
Well, they get signed just like anybody else.
Yeah.
So is that a process? You sign them and when you eventually take that property over?
Well, no.
And if they're paying the taxes on it,
there's nothing we can do.
Lloyd Bill just goes on their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And nobody pays the taxes.
The banks will pay.
Right.
It's working when you don't have the bank.
The one on West South, is there an ordinance, John, that they can, that we can condemn that or consider it hazardous and do something more?
I'd say yes, there is.
There is.
Under zoning.
You got a nuisance ordinance and you have
building ordinances for all of those things.
Well, that's what I wonder.
All they have to do is follow through.
I'm sure it has been.
I think a certified letter was sent. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just not sure it was accepted. I don't know. I'd have to ask that again. Okay.
See, I can get you all that information. Call the office tomorrow.
So, okay. A certified letter that they put their address down and they sign the deed.
It's a building statement.
And if they don't get it and it comes back, that's
it
the same.
Matter.
That's the same as them not doing anything. It's the same as them ignoring it.
But then
you still proceed.
Right. Yep. Exactly. And that's the process.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. Refresh my memory. If they don't do that, we cite them.
They ignored it.
Then what?
We cite them. We cite them and they go to court.
When you're mowing it, you put them on the mowing bill.
Right, but I mean, so I'm talking about like if this starts to start falling down even worse than what it already is, what do we do then?
Well, the last time we have taken people to court. And we have torn down buildings after we went to court.
Okay.
That's usually a last resort because that is the most costly portion of it. It's going to cost a couple thousand bucks to go through the court process, and then you're going to, because I do not want any, there's two different ways. I've always been of the opinion that we're not going to go on somebody's property without a court order.
Right.
To tear things down. I mean, the mow lawn is okay, but not to tear things down. So we'll get a court order, the judge will say you can go, the judge's order will say if it costs X amount, you can tack that onto their tax bill.
Okay.
The problem then is it gets tacked onto the tax bill, it's $6,000 or $7,000, and now you have a lot that's 50 by 100 feet that's not worth $7,000.
I understand that. No. But if I'm the young family living next to this with two little boys and you've seen teenagers go in the back of that and now the door's busted open, no. It was today, it wasn't a week ago. That worries me. It's worth $7,000 or $8,000 to keep your citizens.
The money wouldn't even be irrelevant.
Well, the owner can be made according to our ordinance to board it all up.
Yeah.
But if they don't get the certified letter, then what?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
That's a problem.
We have
proof
because
have to
it's
certified
that we sent it. Just because they don't receive it, doesn't mean they
think ignored it.
They don't respond within the time the letter says, and we go to the next step.
And I don't know exactly where we're at in that process, but the process has begun.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd have
to get rid of all of this.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Thank you, Greg, for your clerk treasurer.
Yep. I will be at the ILMCT Clerk Treasurer's State Board of Accounts Conference June 11th through the 15th.
Wait a minute, you're going to leave me again?
Yep.
I am lost without you.
We are getting ready for our budget review. I'm going to prepare a budget timeline, and that will be presented in your council packets, and we'll discuss that on June the 19th. And just a reminder, the bids for the grinder and the hay buster will be presented, if we receive any, at the next meeting on June the 19th. At the next meeting.
Okay. I spent some time on the website today. I hope you check it out. We've got some things up there. We are going to have a redevelopment commission meeting June 8th, Thursday at 5:30. If you're on that committee, make sure that you block some time to attend. We have some bills we need to pay. I'm not looking forward to a two-hour meeting, but there's not a lot we can do with that redevelopment commission, but we have to pay these bills and get in and get out. So.
And we will, just on that same thing, the main reason for the meeting is because of the annual pass-through letter that the redevelopment has to approve, because we don't have any excess valuation in the districts, and we're not going to be giving any money back. You know, we're going to be, all the money is committed for bond payments and things in there. It's what we do every year. It's a pass-through letter that has to be approved and a resolution.
The building maintenance that you approved about a month ago is complete. I invite you to take a look at the new door on the building out back and the siding. Some of the siding protects itself from rain. Check out the, if you'd like, I can open up the mayor's office. You can check out the new window. It's so much safer. We keep that door shut and locked through the day, and people can still access us through the window, but it just makes us feel safer. I think Vicki's got some ideas about
that. Ask the Board of Works to consider doing the same thing with my office as well. So, very much. So.
Put a window in for safety. So, with that, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
To adjourn.
Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We'll adjourn. Thank you all.
Thank you.
You're going to start planting flowers. I just heard it.
All right.
shouldn't have your hands.
In your spare time, right?
In December.